Favorite family, it's your girl Sia Michelle, and I'm back with another episode of F Things. So today we have a quick word on the Messiah, Christ the Messiah, and we're just going to give honor and praise and magnify the Lord our God, because he is worthy to be praised. Let us not forget the real meaning behind the season of Christmas. And although there's a lot of followers of Christ and Christians and believers, and there's a lot of people that will tell you all kind of beluga, I don't know. They'll tell you all kind of mess to get you to, you know, the real Jesus wasn't born here and there. Listen. I want you to focus on what matters, which is Christ existing, being born, walking this earth with us so we can have a relationship with him. And the fact that Christmas, if you pay attention to what the world has tried to do with Christmas, at its root, gift giving, spending time with family and friends, it's really all here in the Bible. Now, I know a lot of commercialism, it gets out of control, and the Hallmark movies and the Hallmark moments seem, you know, like an impossible thing. And then there's a lot of movies that just are so out of control when it comes to the commercialism of Christmas. But the thing that matters most, whether you put up a Christmas tree or not, I'm not here to judge you. I am here to tell you it is okay. It is okay to celebrate however you celebrate Christmas. But I'm just here to talk to you about the significance of Christ. To talk about the significance, really, of gift giving. And just be here for you for the holidays. It's a lovely time. You don't have to hate Christmas. You don't have to put up a ton of decorations. Everything doesn't always have to be just right. I just need you all to calm down, close all those other voices in your head, and learn to appreciate the real meaning of Christmas. All right, so we're going to be in Matthew for a majority of our scripture reading today. We're going to skip through parts of Matthew 1 and really just kind of walk through the birth of Jesus. And we'll also do some Bible hopping through John, and we may even have a visit from one of the prophets as well. So stick around. I'll be back. We're flowing with the Spirit as always. None of this is really planned. It's always just kind of something that's been in my head and in my heart, marinating. Very few notes, all Spirit. So forgive me if I get something wrong. Just go back and do the work yourself and pray for me so that the knowledge comes back and I get my correction in. But we're not going to claim any inconsistencies, but we are going to claim the blood of Jesus over this word. And for the Lord to continue to shine his light on us, to continue to be that bright, bright light, that star in the sky, as it was when Jesus was born. I will be right back. Hold tight, and we'll get this word together. You all. So I first want to go ahead and start off by saying, to all of those out there that may feel anxious or maybe in anxiety about celebrating Christmas because folks say it's a pagan holiday, blah, da, 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 da. Don't listen to those folks. You celebrate the way that you want to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. If you know who your Lord and Savior is, you don't have anything to worry about. If you're not idolizing anything, you're fine. I mean, we're going to read here in Matthew that the wise men gave gifts to Jesus when he was born. Like, this is why we do what we do around Christmas. Just don't let it consume you. So you can put up your decorations. You can put up your beautiful Christmas tree. Put out your sentimental ornaments. Don't make these people shame you into anything. That's not what being a follower of Jesus, being a Christian, is about. There are many people that have come in the name of the Lord and they're not. So, and then other, like the Lord says that people should know us by our love. So stop. Just don't let these folks judge you or shame you for just being a cheerful Christmas person. Like, I love Christmas myself. I don't idolize it. I tell people every year also, don't give me no gifts, but they give me gifts anyway. You know, it's just all part of the thing. Like, and I have a beautiful 4-year-old, and you know, she loves Christmas and she still believes in Santa Claus. She likes watching The Grinch and singing with the Who's. Y'all, just calm down. Don't be anxious. Pray about everything. You'll be fine. But what brought me to this podcast episode today was I was reading in an article that someone had said that the Christmas star when Jesus was born was a legend. And it really frustrated me as I was reading about it. I'm thinking that I'm about to nestle in for a good Christian article about the star that helped lead the wise men to Jesus. Again, we're going to get into that here in Matthew. But the thing is about Jesus altogether is he was not a myth nor a legend. He is Jesus. He is God. He came to have relationship with us in such a complex way that we can't even comprehend. I say all this to say, my fellow favorite family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is that if we don't pay attention to what we're ingesting, if we don't stop it in its tracks, if we don't pray and combat the enemy with our words and the word of God, which was made flesh, if we don't stand up for what we believe in, the truth at its foundation, you will easily and foolishly be deceived. And just like that, if I would have kept reading that article, I would have been deceived and came into agreement with something that is not true. I would have came into agreement that Jesus himself is a myth. Because if the star is a myth, then Jesus is a myth. These people out here, the enemy has got these people thinking that Jesus was like Hercules, who is a myth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. He is the truth. And all of the events happening up until Jesus's birth was not a myth. It was truth. Hence the significance of why I'm preaching about this today is because Jesus came, but a whole lot of other events happened for the redemption story beforehand. On purpose. And though it takes a long time, it almost felt as if nothing was happening. God was moving his mighty hand the entire time. So for somebody to write an article, as you know, because as a nation, as a people, we're becoming so desensitized to the importance of a thing. Everything's been commercialized. Everything has been watered down so much that people are losing hope, and they're just running off and believing and coming into agreement with anything. When the truth is staring them right in their face, the truth is right under their nose. The promise is here. The promise has always been here. So we're going to go into the word. We're at Matthew right now. We're at Matthew 17. And then I'm going to just have the Holy Spirit lead me to what he wants, you know, what he wants me to read. Matthew 17 says, "Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ," or Messiah. And I'm reading out of the NIV version. So do you see what I mean? That verse in itself from generation to generation to generation, and all of Matthew 1 through 17 is a recorder of the genealogy of Jesus. It goes through everybody. So if you ever feel as though your life is insignificant, it's not. Everything you do, every decision you make, from the time you wake up to the time that you close your eyes, say your prayers, and go to bed, is carefully curated, crafted, and planned by God. All of the events that happen in your life has been carefully curated by the Lord himself. You have been chosen for such a time as this, to represent the light. Even when you don't feel like it, even when it doesn't look like anything is going your way, don't worry about it, because it's bigger than you. And this verse right here just debunked any type of inconsistent, feeling that you may have been having about your purpose here in life. God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan. He is a good God. He should be magnified every day, because what he's doing in your life, it's bigger than you. Whether you have children or not, you play an important role in the kingdom of God. Whether you have a lineage to pass it down to, or whether you exist to be a helper to somebody else, or to give advice, you have been carefully, wonderfully, and fearfully made for a very specific reason, and it's for the glory of God. And if you happen to be carrying a load that you feel is so heavy, trust and believe that the Lord is doing his finest work in your life. So Matthew 17 shows you, through all these generations, even before you, all these generations are working for the good of the Lord, for his glory, just like he did for the lineage of Jesus to come into this world and disrupt everything. He is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Y'all better put some respect on his name in a world where they don't respect anything. But what we can do and what we gonna do is understand that we are operating through our gifts, through our talents, through even just existing at bare minimum. We are operating for the glory of God. And we know that his ways are not our ways, and that he has a plan for us. Because it's really his plan. And we just come into agreement with the truth. And we rebuke anything that is not of the truth. And we keep it pushing. So, the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ goes into Matthew 18 through like 24. And, well, not necessarily his birth, but when the angel came to Mary and Joseph to let them know that they were going to birth the Messiah. Okay, so that's important. Please read that. As you always know, I say, just start reading the page. If I give you a verse, just start reading. Before, after, whatever, read the page. So that goes into like the preparation before Christ. What I'm going to mainly focus on is Matthew 2. And we'll start reading, which is the visit of the Magi, or like the wise men. So, I'll start reading. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi, or wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." I'm going to stop there for a second. Glory be to God. 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 So now you understand why I was so perturbed at that article that was trying to explain something about Christ's star, the star of Jesus, in trying to simplify it as myth. I beg your pardon? How do you belittle something so significant and reduce the coming of Jesus and the sign for the coming of Jesus, the star, the superstar, the way, the truth, the light, and you belittle him by calling it a legend? I don't think so. So I'll continue. Oh, no. You know, actually, I'm going to say another thing. Verse 6, Matthew 2, verse 6. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." This is coming from Micah. Micah 5:2, one of the prophets. This has been prophesied. The wise men knew that with the indication of that star, prophecy had been fulfilled. My people, we've become so desensitized that we and false prophets have gone running amok that it's so hard to put this into words because the gall of our society has just become so dark that we really have not been discerning to even the signs in our own life when the Lord gives us. They can be so bright, just like that star. But because we have been so desensitized to the oversaturation of things. Again, we could read an article like what I was about to, you know, read and come into agreement with something that is simply not true when the significance of something so beautiful like a star in the night triggered something in the wise men, and they said, ah, the Messiah is here. And remember, it's prophecy, and prophecy's been fulfilled. If you're not discerning, you're going to miss out on the promises of God. You're going to miss out on his light, on his goodness, on his promises that he has for you. And this in itself is his promise. It's the promise of eternal life, his promise of restoration. Here in the star of Jesus, here when Jesus was born, that had been prophesied for generation after generation after generation after generation. People hoped and dreamed and prophesied and waited. They waited for the Savior. And he came in all his glory. A beautiful baby. Flesh. Word became flesh. When God says he's going to do a thing, he's going to do a thing. And it's bigger than you. Glory be to God. So I'll continue. We're at Matthew 2, verse 7. When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Oh, Jesus. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. I'm so sorry. I have my Bible at a really weird angle. Let me reread that verse. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Okay. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. I'm so sorry about that hiccup there, you all. They did not worship Mary. They worshiped the Lord. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. star is not a myth. The star is just one of the more amazing parts of, one of the most amazing parts of prophecy. And it led the wise men to Jesus to give him gifts, to worship him. Some of the first people to sit at Jesus' feet. Glory be to God. What a privilege. What an honor. And then to kick it up a notch, the Lord gave them instruction and wisdom to go on ahead and get on up out of there because Herod is trying to kill this child. And so they followed orders and they returned to their country by another route. One encounter with Jesus changed the course of their life, literally. Prophecy fulfilled. There's a verse in Matthew that I read earlier that also helped trigger this episode. It's Matthew 5:17. And really, you can just, in my Bible, I can just go right on over to it. The fulfillment of the law is like the subheading for this. So it's Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And of course, that's coming from Jesus himself when he's older and he's walking in his ministry. But Jesus said it himself. He is who he says he is. He didn't come to abolish what was already written. He came to fulfill it. Just like we said in Micah 5:2, which they had quoted, the wise men had quoted, earlier in Matthew. He came so that everything could be full circle, so that we can be redeemed. Because people think that, oh, okay, so Jesus is born, now I can go back to, okay, he came, he fulfilled prophecy, he died, he lived, he cleansed me of my sins, now I can go back to sinning because he's always going to forgive me. No, he just came to fulfill God's promise, not to take away from the law. Prophecy is real. It's not a joke. It's not a game. It's not a fluke. It's not a happenstance. And we know Christ the way that we know Christ. It's not a mystery. It's here. It's in black and white. It's written. And if you read in John explains it so eloquently in the very beginning of John. So I'm Bible hopping to John 1, and I'll just start reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So I'm going to skip down to verse 10 real quick. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to our natural descent. Nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. 15. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." That makes me want to just get up and start shucking and jiving. Glory be to God. And this is why Christ was born. The Word became flesh. And Jesus came as an example, even though his own rejected him. As it says here in these passages through John. He came, this is verse 11. He came to that which was his own, which is us, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, though, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So folks can act like Jesus is a legend all they want to. They can act like everything coming before Jesus was just by happenstance. They can continue to walk around with their own false prophecy. They can do whatever they want, but the ones that get it, get it. As the Lord says all the time, my sheep know my voice. If you know the story, you know the story. John said here in verse 15, John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'" John peep gang. He knew the whole time. He had been telling folks. He had been baptizing in faith before Jesus got to him. To be baptized. Like, you have just got to know what you know, that you know that you know what you know. You have got to have unshakable faith to believe. You've got to have radical faith to believe in this hour, because there's so much deception and there's so many people who will give you a counterfeit version of the story of Christ from their own limited belief. People who feel that their own lives are insignificant, but you know that you know. And if you know Jesus Christ is Lord, and Jesus Christ was real and roamed and walked this earth and was manifest from God so that he can have relationship with us. This is why he came. It's bigger than what we even think or comprehend. It's bigger than what came before or after us. It's so big, we can't even comprehend it. If you believe, you're in the right place. If you're having trouble believing, just open the Word and God will explain it to you, because the Word becomes flesh. So, as second part of this, really just in contemplation with the importance of Jesus Christ, I'm taken to Exodus. And so go ahead and get out your Bibles, go ahead and flip on through to Exodus 33:20. Well, actually, let's rewind a little bit. Exodus 33:19. And a little background before we read it. This is Moses speaking with the Lord. And I heard a minister say earlier that the reason for Jesus is that God can be near to us. This is the only way it could have been done. Because offering up sacrifices, and clearly if you read about the children of Israel, how unstable that was and how unsustainable that was, like, Jesus. Praise God for Jesus, because we're human and we're born into sin. We're going to keep sinning. We can try as hard as we want, but a saint on their best day still sins. And so Jesus was dwelling with the Israelites through the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm paraphrasing a lot that's happening, in Exodus and stuff. Please go back and read it. It's really wild, like the ceremonial things that they had to do before they even, when the priests entered into the tent, you had to be anointed to even enter into God's presence. Same with Moses. Anointed, chosen, picked. But here in 33:19, Exodus 33:19, I'm going to explain something here in this verse that's going to help bring it all home. So I'll read. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. This is why Jesus was sent. This is why God had been working through generations and generations and generations, as it said in Matthew, for his perfect redemption story, to bring Jesus to us only by God, so that we can be near to him. And he had to come in our form for God to dwell with us. This is why they call Jesus Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Everything comes full circle for a reason. Everything that God does is for a reason. And he loved us so much that he came down to dwell with us through Jesus, who looked like us, ate like us, talked like us, experienced grief like us. Check out John 11:35 when Jesus wept. He came through Jesus to be near to us. Because as we have just read here in Exodus, Exodus 33:20, but he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." And many times here with folks that thought God was playing with the Ark of the Covenant, they get struck down if they thought that they were more worthy than Moses, or if they thought, well, let me handle it or touch it, and they haven't gone through the proper process or sacrifice. No. And God knew that wasn't going to sustain, so he sent Jesus. He worked his way through unlikely people. The last became first, the first became last. God chose who he chose. As he says in this verse, he has mercy on who he has mercy. He has compassion on whom he will have compassion. That's Exodus 33:19. He did what he had to do and worked his way through all those generations that you read in the beginning of Matthew 1 for his perfect redemption story through Jesus Christ to save us. But the most important thing is he came to be with us. And it's almost as if you can just draw a very simple graph, like, or a little diagram. It's God, point a little arrow, and Jesus, point a little arrow. And then when Jesus left to sit at the right hand of the Father where he belongs, he sent the Holy Spirit so that God can dwell with us forever and ever. And we can call on him whenever we need to. We can talk to him whenever we need to, just as if Jesus was still here with us, communing with us, eating with us, weeping with us. It's one of the most precious gifts of all. Jesus is not a myth. He is real. God is not a myth. He is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Mary. And he dwells within us. And as we speak carefully things into existence, as we pray with our hopes and our dreams, whatever may be plaguing us, whatever makes us jubilant, how we function down to the cellular level, it's all God. We're not perfect, but he still loves us, and he loved us enough to send Jesus for us, knowing good and well that his son would have to die to save our raggedy souls. Knowing that he would have to die, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, because he knew that we are out of control. And so through a series of complex generations, we have baby Jesus, born in a manger, worthy to be praised, worthy to be gifted. And this is why Jesus is the reason for the season, for all seasons really, but on this very special Christmas day, in this Christmas season, this is what it's all about. This is why we give gifts. This is why we're thankful for family. This is why we dwell with each other. Jesus liked to have himself a good time with his disciples. He went to weddings. His first miracle was at a wedding. He turned water into wine. He dined with his disciples. He healed. He, you know, he was Jesus. He was human. He wept. He experienced everything that we experienced. He experienced holidays and traditions. But he also knew his purpose. And he was put here on a mission, as bleak as it may have been. But he knew that what was going to happen through him was for the greater good of all humanity. He was a real person. He is a real living God who came near to us so that we would have eternal life and we would not perish. He came to touch us, to live with us, and later exchange the greatest gift of all with the Holy Spirit and through his sacrifice. It's bigger than what we think. God wanted to dwell with us, and so he did. Don't belittle what God has done in your life. You may think it's small and insignificant, but you have no idea how God can and will be using you for the redemptive story of all. God loves you so much than you could ever imagine. He just needs you to trust him and know that he is God. He is the I am, as he said to Moses. And he's everywhere. He's in the wind. He's in this fireplace that I'm looking at with the fire going up. He is energy. New Age has taken so many things and gave it great purpose when it is God. And they still belittle God as legend, as myth. We've got to correct these people in the kindest way that we know how. If you are led, we've got to study our word. We have got to get a grip on things, because these new generations just don't understand just how important they are to the kingdom of God. And if they could just use those smarts for the kingdom, you know? If they could just use their gifts and talents for the kingdom, then the word will become flesh. And goodness and mercy will follow them the rest of their life. But because folks have decided to belittle God and put him in a box or make a myth or a legend out of him, as if he never existed, like Adam and Eve or some type of mythological figure, like they were an option to believe in. I'm just kind of going off of a tangent here. When you really think critically about when Adam and Eve were locked out of Eden, they once had an opportunity to dwell with the Lord. But immediately after their sin, God could not allow sin to be part of him, because he's God, he's good, he is perfect. So Adam and Eve got locked out of Eden, right? Because they were sinful. And over time, as you read through Exodus and about the different rebellions, because people were jealous of Moses' anointing and the earth swallowing them up, all because these folks wanted to be holy. They wanted to be near to the Lord. whatever their intentions were, evil or whatever. So Adam and Eve couldn't be near to the Lord. If you read in different parts of Exodus, certain Israelites, they just wanted to be near to the Lord, but they wanted to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And you read through just really throughout the Word how people, they have this weird, they have this really weird obsession with wanting to be near to the Lord in such a twisted way. And this is why God did what he did. For those of y'all that are out there perverting the truth or unsure or trying to seek God as if he's, you know, like he's an object, like he's the Holy Grail or something like that. And then you'll receive innumerable powers, like he's a cartoon character. He's God. He's omnipotent. He is magnificent. He's so magnificent that Moses talked with the Lord, but he couldn't see his face, or else he would surely die. If you read here in Exodus 33:21, like carrying on after the Lord said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." And of course, this is when Moses was on Mount Sinai writing the tablets, the new stone tablets that he broke, because the children of Israel was wilding. But even Moses, who talked with the Lord, wrote the Ten Commandments, could not see the glory of the Lord, because he's so powerful. This is why he sent Jesus, so that he could walk with us just like Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He's not a myth. He's not an object to be plundered. He is God and he is good and he loves you. And he is sinless. But through Jesus, we have been saved of our sins and of our grace. As John explained, there is law, there is gospel. Jesus came to perfect and complete all of it. That doesn't mean you get to go out and act a fool. It means you are doing the very best that you can with the tools that you've been given. And know that you can dwell with the Lord at any time through the help of the Holy Spirit because of Jesus' sacrifice. And we can walk out this life together. So that's just something to contemplate, favorite family. I know I threw a lot at you all. I bounced all over the place as usual. Typical Sia. But I really just wanted to give you all just a little chit chat, little pep talk. It's about how good and great your God is. And don't let anybody put your God in a box. He is the God. He is everywhere. Don't let these new age people tell you energy is over God, because God is everything. God is the energy that they're talking about. He is the good vibe. Okay? He is Alpha and Omega. In the beginning, there was God. Okay? So, you all say your prayers. You know that saying that people say, thank your lucky stars. Well, thank the star of Jesus, because he's still guiding our lives to this day. It may not specifically be a star, but it's certainly light. And if you're ever in a dark place, just look for the light. Look for the light. God is the way, the truth, the light. He is Jesus. He's the light. And he wants you all to continue to walk in your favor and be the light. Carry the light. Okay. And as I'm saying this, I'm getting this beautiful vision of like the Olympic Games when one of the athletes, they get the torch and they all run and get to light the really big torch that says like the games have begun. That's what you are to the Lord. We're all running this race, trying to be the best that we can and make do with what we have, knowing that we are saved, knowing that God has given us this grace, knowing that if we are disciplined, just like those Olympic runners and swimmers and athletes, if we are disciplined enough to run this race and carry that torch, we'll continue to light up the night. Okay, so I pray that this has ministered to you in a magnificent way. I pray that we start teaching and ministering to our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as those that may not know the gospel, just the true meaning of Jesus. You can watch all those Hallmark feel-good movies if you want to, but Jesus is the real feel-good story. Okay? It's the real good news. After everything that everybody went through before him, prophecy is real. Prophecy is real. And when God says a thing, it will manifest in his timing, not ours. So you got to be patient. Don't be manipulative. Don't walk around in deception and false prophecy. Just test the Lord and know that his fruit is good. Trust in him. His yoke is easy and light. And at the end of the day, his promises are true. But make sure they're his promises. Okay? So, read your Bibles, say your prayers, be thankful and grateful wherever you are. Know that God's grace is sufficient. It always has been and always will. And if you're trusting in the Lord for something, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But just know that everything that has happened before you, everything that's going on now, and everything that will happen after you, it's all for a reason, for the big picture. And it is inevitably for the Lord's glory. And how bright it shines, just like that star in the sky. I love you so much with the love of Christ. You all have a blessed holiday season. And I will be back soon and very soon with some more amazing fire favorite things. Bye-bye for now.